Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
People really do come into your life and there's something that they admire about you and want to be around that light, and then they end up despising you for the very same thing because they only want it to be next to it so that they can try and be it.
Hey, babe.
It's Aisha Christina. Nice to meet you.
This is Quality Queen Control.
What is happening?
Hello, hello, hello. How is everybody feeling? Welcome back to Quality Queen Control Podcast. Welcome to the Quality Queen Control Podcast. If this is your first time seeing me, hi, my name is Aisha Christina Foster. Very nice to meet you. Thank you for spending some time with me, for listening to me. I love it. You guys are the best, okay? And obviously we know on this platform, on this podcast, we never gatekeep. So if you happen to hear something or see an episode that you really love, make sure that you share it. If you have the option to, hype this video up if you're seeing it. I need like a band of us to like make a pact where we are going to hype up every video that we see of mine. It will be greatly appreciated because this will get us continuously into the algorithm and more eyes, people will see us and we can, you know, just be the A-team, okay? Just be as awesome as we need to be so that we are helping girls around the world and men's too. All right. So you guys are here because we're going to be talking about how to tell if someone doesn't like you and the psychology of that. And I think this is one of the most dangerous things that we can do is ignore what our body is simply trying to tell us about people. I understand that when you first get into a dynamic like this, it's actually difficult to come to terms with and accept because you're almost in denial when you experience your first situation where it's like, okay, am I reading too much into this or does this person just absolutely do not like me? And before your mind begins to create a story, your nervous system has probably already made that decision. It already knows whether or not a person is going to be safe. It already knows whether or not a person actually doesn't like you. So we're going to be placing an emphasis on how to tell someone doesn't like you psychologically, specifically in friendships. So there's a concept in psychology that your brain is constantly scanning for safety, right? So it's not just the physical safety, it's also the emotional safety. So when someone doesn't like you, your body's going to be picking up on these micro signals, like when their tone starts to shift, when it feels like they're being very cold, there isn't a there's no warmth there. There's a lack of warmth. There's like these subtle little dismissive sort of undertones or maybe digs. And then there's like forced politeness. Irritating, okay? So you may not consciously be clocking it, but you feel it. And that's what makes it even harder and confusing at first, okay? This should not be happening to you over and over and over again. But when you first clock this, you're gonna realize like, okay, this feels weird, even though I can't quite put my finger on what I'm feeling. Then there's that slight tension that's in your chest and that feeling of overthinking after every interaction that you have with that person. We've all been there. Or there's this need to sort of adjust yourself around them because you're trying to filter what you're saying to them or how you come off, what your appearance is like, it's just anxiety. And that anxiety is not there for no reason. It is information. It is data. So there are subtle behavioral signs. Like people are rarely ever going to tell you, I actually just do not like you. They're going to show you that they do not like you. They may not always tell you, but baby, they will show you that they don't like you. When people like you, they will naturally mirror your energy, your tone, even your body language, right? But when they don't, there is a big disconnect. The conversation is going to feel off. It's not really flowing. You know, I heard someone say this the other day. They said, anytime you have to constantly defend your character to someone, it just simply means that person doesn't like you. And whether that person's able to articulate it or not, Like I just said, people will rarely tell you that they do not like you, but they will always show you that they do not like you. So there's usually low emotional investment. It's like people, they'll respond, but they're not necessarily going to engage with you. You're going to leave conversations feeling like, why do I feel kind of empty after talking to them? Why do I feel like I don't feel secure that they are not going to take this conversation to somewhere else? Why do I feel like we're like fighting even though we're not really in an argument? All that like uncomfortability that you're sitting with, it's because they're not emotionally investing in you. That's what it really is. And then there's this passive distance, right? Where they're not going to be openly mean to you, but they're going to not really ever fully be present. So this means they're probably not going to be reaching out. They're probably not going to be including you in anything. And they're not really going to do things that tend to deepen the connection. All right. It's like polite distance. And that's the truth. Because I'll be honest with you, this is where I've noticed now being an adult, I realize when I actually do not like someone and I realize I don't naturally want to reach out to them. I realize I don't naturally want to include them in things. They're not the top person that comes to my mind. And I also don't have a desire to deepen my connection with that person because I'm realizing like the truth is I actually just don't like you. So these things that I would naturally do with someone else that I do like, I'm not doing it with you because I just don't like you, right? It is a polite distance, right? But polite distance is absolutely still distance. So then there's something called micro dismissals, right? And this is a big one in friendships where it's like, someone's talking over you all the time. They're not acknowledging any of your wins. They're changing the subject anytime you share something that's important to you. And this has actually happened to me. And I remember a friend of mine, we were talking about a mutual friend that we, you know, noticed that this person would always be talking over me every time I would say something. And I actually didn't think too much of it until I started to, you know what I mean? And then I remember my friend saying, you know what? It's just so weird that like so-and-so is always talking over you. I was like, wait, so it's not in my head. They are actually always talking over me and they'll insert themselves in the middle of a conversation I'm having and start to talk about something they've done. Oh my gosh, I just got, this video of mine just went viral. Oh my gosh, and it's like, oh, okay. Like it's so hard to want to just have a natural, happy response to something like that when you're already feeling weirdness between you and a person. It's like, by default, your support almost feels performative to you, even though you're not even a jealous person or you're whatever. It just feels like they're forcing you to have to show up for them in a certain capacity. But like I said, I totally understand, you know, where it was like the micro dismissals of someone trying to lord over you or really like not really acknowledging your wins or changing the subject anytime it's like about something you're doing. Yeah, there are subtle cues of disinterest always, or even quiet resentment. And those are the main things, right? And then there's friendship rejection. And that is harder to process, I would argue, than romantic rejection, because there's no actual clear like breakup. Right. So what happens is you tend to stay in this gray area in these types of friendship dynamics and connections where you feel tolerated, but you're not really valued in the friendship, or you're constantly questioning yourself in the friendship. Like, is this person my friend? Did they really mean what they said when they said that? Did they mean what they did when they did that? You keep trying to earn closeness with a certain person, but you're never going to achieve it. And that's just the truth. Like, so many times in friendship dynamics, like, it feels so uncomfortable when there's nothing overtly going on, but it's an undertone that you can always feel like, I just don't think that this is working out. And it is very difficult to sit there and call it. So you do get in these gray areas where you find yourself kind of just going with the flow and accepting whatever's happening, but you're not really there. And you don't want to be the first person to bring it up because you don't want to make it seem like you're starting something. They're not even paying attention to you, most likely. And thinking nothing of the dynamic. And it's just like letting it kind of die down, but it rarely ever dies down. It ends up turning into this like weird dynamic where it's like, okay, you stop inviting the person, or you stop being invited, or you just start to notice that like all of a sudden it comes to a head where one little minute disagreement then turns into, okay, so this is, we're getting to the meat and potatoes here of why you actually have a problem with me. Are you guys picking up what I'm laying down? So over time, whenever you're in these gray area sort of connections, and honestly, this goes for everything, this is going to do something to your self-concept, okay? You will start shrinking yourself. Anytime you find yourself not wanting to share something with someone, you're shrinking yourself. I'm 100% guilty of this. I have had friendships in my past where I just felt like I just didn't want to share anything in my life with them. I just really always would filter. And it takes so much energy, by the way, to like filter the information you're telling them, you know, to have to just placate almost. Like, it just feels so exhausting to know, like, what am I doing here in this friendship? Like, this is not working out. So it's a ticking time bomb where you're kind of waiting for the next thing to happen so that you can actually just air out what your grievances are, because you feel crazy for bringing up the feeling that you're having of there being a disconnect between you and that person. And then, of course, it's so frustrating telling someone and expressing to someone how you're feeling, and they're kind of telling you like, no, that's not true at all. Instead of just taking accountability and saying like, you know what, the truth is, like, I just think we're not aligned, and it kind of just is what it is, and let bygones be bygones. But no, it's rarely ever that. It's rarely ever a mutual decision to just let it go and just be done. There's always usually like a large sort of event that has to take place in order for there to finally be a discussion about it. And it is painful because you have memories with this person, you're close with this person, okay? And it's hurtful to have to let go of the dynamic and feel like, oh my gosh, I don't think this is gonna work. Let me tell you something. I always say wrong man, wrong plan, but when it comes to friendships, you want to make sure that you were able to trust the person that you are friends with. I'm telling you, because if you do not, I'm telling you, these friendships where you're feeling like things are weird, take it from me. And some people don't respond politely to distance. Like, I am the type of person where I'm gonna start to distance myself from someone so I can get some sort of clarity there. And then hopefully I would hope in the past that it would kind of just dissipate instead of just saying like, hey, I don't think we're aligned. Like, I kind of want to leave this where it is. And I remember my first experience in feeling like I couldn't put a label on it. I didn't understand what I was experiencing, but there was definitely misalignment there. I found myself feeling very anxious whenever I was around this person. I found myself feeling like I wanted to start limiting the days in which we would hang out or interact, because I felt like when I was with that person, it was all about them. Like, I couldn't be my own person and they are also their own person. I had to be like an extension of them. And that was very uncomfortable for me. How do you express that to someone? Hey, I feel like when I'm with you, you're consuming every part of me, and it's like this endless pit, and I can't just be my own person while I'm in this friendship with you. You know what I mean? And I just remember like, oh my gosh, I don't know what I'm going to do about this. I certainly didn't think it was going to end up ending in the way that it did and the collateral that followed, but it was definitely a very big monumental part of my life in terms of the lesson that I learned, because to me, unfortunately, in that situation, it was unavoidable. Once I distanced myself and I just moved on with my life, it really upset that person and they went on like pretty much like a rampage, like in a smear campaign. But in hindsight, it just like really solidified for me, okay, like I need to make sure that I'm being more aware and I'm becoming friends with people that are more aligned. And some people might pretend to be someone that they're not too aligned with you and then kind of switch up after, but trust your discernment. If you feel like something's off, trust me, most likely it is, especially when you find yourself in a position where you're constantly having to defend what you meant when you said certain things or what have you. It's the same thing that I learned in that friendship where I thought that we were friends, but this person absolutely did not view me as a friend. And you know how people feel about you, especially when they're upset with you. How they say things about you and what they say to you reveals a lot, you know? And so a lot was revealed in that dynamic because here I was innocently thinking like, oh, we're friends, like all the different things. And this person is having a completely different concept in their head and feeling like, you know, like I should be, you know, owing them this and all these. It was bizarre. It doesn't matter. The point is that I was not wrong when I felt like something was off. It absolutely was off. And some people are like real life crazy. That's the thing. You have to be very careful with who you allow into your life and into your space because people really do come into your life and there's something that they admire about you and want to be around that light, and then they end up despising you for the very same thing because they only wanted to be next to it so that they can try and be actually it instead of coexisting as two strong individuals and having a genuine friendship. It has to be this or that. Do you understand what it is that I'm saying? There's a reason why we tend to ignore these things, right? And it's psychological. Right? Because the real question is not necessarily, well, why do they not like me? It is, why am I staying where I feel this? Well, we all know familiarity feels like safety. So if you are used to emotionally unavailable people, then this dynamic is going to tend to feel normal to you. It's not good, but it's familiar. Or if you are just realizing this behavior, facing this behavior for the first time, you're frozen. You don't even know what to think. To put it back to myself for context, I remember there was a friendship that I had when I was like 14. It ended when I was like 14 years old. And there was this girl that I used to go to church with, and she was just like bizarre. Like, she would like do, she would do things like one minute we'd be speaking. The next time I come to church, she wouldn't speak to me. And it would be this like tit for tat thing of like, all right, this time I'm going to speak to you. The next time, who's going to be speaking to each other first? Like it just became this weird game. And now that I think about it, even at that young age, I don't know where that girl learned that behavior from. She would do things like take my cell phone and ask if she can use it for a phone call and disappear for hours on end with my phone. And I would let her do this stuff to me because I'm like, okay, well, she doesn't have a phone. Also, at this point, what am I going to do? Like, she's ignoring my own calls to my cell phone from my other friend's cell phone. Like, she would just say mean things, like call me names. And I just would like accept that that was just the dynamic, you know, between us. And I realized in hindsight, like, this person actually was very envious of me. We grew up very, very differently. And I think she wanted to be my friend, but then it made her angry. Like, my presence made her angry because it would just highlight how different we actually were without me even trying to do so, right? It was one of those. And so I think that part of the relationship dynamic that I had to completely conquer in my friendships with other women, and the last lessons really being in my 20s, was these types of controlling women that come into my life, because I didn't grow up in a family dynamic like that. So I don't know how I was kind of introduced. I was introduced to that type of dynamic in a friendship organically, where it was just a dynamic that I happened to be around when I was younger. And so I saw that that was starting to kind of become a little bit of a theme at certain points in my life with certain individuals, where they would want to be my friend. They like me, all these different things. And the second, like, I do my own thing or I just simply exist, they all of a sudden decide they have a problem with it and try to like ruin my life or something like that. And none of them can actually tell me, you did this to me. You said this about me. You backstabbed me. This is what you did. It was never a clear-cut answer. It was always intangible things. It was feelings that I couldn't quite put my finger on, but I was allowing the wrong people into my life to get close to me because I wanted to be liked by these people. I had this compassion of, I don't care where you come from, how you grew up, like, that doesn't mean we can't be friends. But these people were not viewing it that way. They were viewing it as, you will always think you're better than me. I don't care how nice you are to me. I'm gonna be around you, but I wanna see what I could take from you, like that sort of thing. And then I remember another time I was friends with this girl who, this was like in the MySpace days, and she was like, I now know, like, obsessed with me. Like, it was bizarre, okay? And I remember she was talking to a guy that really liked me. I don't know what happened in hindsight of their dynamic, but I think that they totally did, like, get together. But, like, I was so young at the time. I'm 15 years old. I'm not thinking about that type of stuff. And I knew that they were hanging out. She told me they were going to hang out. I was ignorantly and naively thinking nothing of it, because who would think a friend would do something like that to you? And I saw in her diary, which she used like as a math notebook at the same, it was very bizarre. And I read it and I saw that she was like having a crush on this guy that ended up like that actually liked me. And it just turned into a disaster. Okay. Like, we absolutely were no longer friends. And it was just, she would call me and ask me, oh, what are you wearing to school tomorrow? All these different things. And I just remember, like, I asked her, do you like this guy? Like, you can tell me, because I never wanted men to come between any of my friendships. Like, I was just, I'm born a girl's girl, okay? And she was like, no. And I get that that's a hard thing to admit to someone. So I'll give her the benefit of the doubt, honestly. It's different, especially at that age. And she was just lying about the whole thing. I remember feeling so uncomfortable because I noticed our conversations were always centered around what was I going to be wearing the next day to school. And I picked up on that. So I would want to avoid the conversation. And she'd always like bring it back to, well, what are you going to wear? Like, you know, like, wait, show me, like all these different things. And I'm like, I don't understand why our friendship dynamic has to like revolve around this. And it felt to me like I was like trying to genuinely be this person's friend and like almost like I'm chasing them to like show up for me in the same way that I'm showing up for them, simply just on the grounds of being genuine. And I couldn't understand that. And it was like this vibe of people would copy me and then they would act like they have originated what I've done, sort of thing. But I was still too naive to realize that's what was happening, because people that are actually people that, this is going to sound confusing, people that are usually the victims of people being jealous of them rarely ever realize that people are envious and jealous of them. But people that always claim that people are envious and jealous of them, it is largely disproportionate, okay, let's just say that, to people that actually are the victims of envy and jealousy all the time. Like, you hit a point of denial where you're like, there's just no way this is the case. And it in fact is. You don't view yourself like that. And I personally believe it's just like the most attractive people in the world tend to be the most insecure about it, right? Obviously, there are people that probably know that they look a certain way, but they're still insecure at the end of the day. But people that are very attractive tend to be the most insecure, I personally believe, in contrast to people that maybe not may not be as conventionally attractive, but they are like extremely, you know, they come across as very confident in all the things. So I say all that to say, you have to really ask yourself, why are you sticking around and staying for a dynamic where you have to question and constantly go back and forth whether or not to see if somebody actually really likes you? On one hand, I'm not going to lie to you guys, I am grateful that I experienced this in friendships rather than in my romantic dynamics. Like, I never experienced these types of dynamics in my relationships romantically, but in friendships, I've definitely had my fair share of characters in my life that I was like, I have to break this pattern like immediately, because I don't know what it is that I'm attracting these randos that like think that they like me, but they actually really don't like me, and they tried, but they just simply can't, and my existence like bothers them. Okay, so the next thing that you tend to do you know, why you ignore this behavior is you internalize that person's behavior. So instead of thinking, you know what, this connection with this person is simply not aligned, you're going to think, well, what's wrong with me? So you're going to try harder. You know what, like maybe I did say something and no matter how diplomatic I tried to be, maybe I shouldn't have said that. You know, like it's just, can I give you an example? Okay. So you know how you go to someone's house, right? And let's just say you're young, okay? You go to someone's house, because I think we all know not to use this term anymore, but you go to a friend's house and you're like, oh my gosh, like your house is so cute. Like I love it, you know? And you're not thinking consciously, I'm saying your house is cute because it's, you know, not because it's small, because it's you're just thinking like, oh my gosh, like this is so cute. Like, I love it, you know? And that person internalizes what you said and thinks, oh, she thinks she's better than me because she said my house was cute. Now, again, I'm not talking about being an adult saying this, because I think saying certain things are cute has a certain connotation, obviously. But when you're young, like 18, 19 years old, especially when I was growing up, I never looked at something like that as an insult, right? And so you can say something like this and someone is like, hates you for it. Like, how dare her call my house cute? All these different things. And it's like, they're so determined to think that you meant something else by it, as opposed to taking what you said at face value of, oh, this person like does feel like this isn't like this, my house is like nice. It's like, that could have just been an adjective that you use. Could you use a better word? Of course. But again, I'm speaking like if you were younger. I remember a friend of mine told me this example specifically, that this is what happened to her. And I was like, oh my gosh. Okay, noted. Never ever say someone's house is cute, you know? And I learned from that, from her own experience. But it made me think for a second, like, but did you mean it in that way? Like, and she was like, no, I really genuinely didn't. It was just an adjective that I just happened to use. And I instantly knew like, okay, I guess that didn't go over well with that person. You guys are understanding what I'm saying. But if a connection is simply not aligned, you do tend to think that it's something maybe that you're not doing, that you should be doing, and all the things. Like, it's so much inner turmoil that goes on in your head. It's exhausting. All right. So then there's the intermittent reinforcement. And this is a powerful thing, because they are not always going to be distant. Okay. Sometimes people that don't like you are going to be nice. They're going to even show up. But that inconsistency of them being nice and then not, and being distant and then answering the phone in the first ring after, is what is going to create that psychological attachment. Right? Because your brain is going to start to chase all the good moments that you had in that friendship. Oh, well, I remember I was crying over losing my job and they were the first person to answer the phone. So you're hanging on to that hope. And it's hard for that feeling to coincide with the fact that for the vast majority of your relationship, you notice every time you go out, she's embarrassing you in front of people. She's calling out your flaws. She's leaving you places by yourself. She's acting funny every time you go certain places. Like, she, like, just weird types of behavior. It's so hard to accept this dichotomy, right? It really is difficult. So your brain is going to chase these good moments and think like, oh, it's not that bad. You're overthinking, you know, all it takes is one conversation with this person and you'll be fine. But there is a cost for staying in dynamics like this, because let's be very clear here. Staying in spaces that you were genuinely not liked, you were actually disliked. Okay. It's always going to give you anxiety. It's always going to have you overthinking. It's always going to have you in this self-doubt sort of mode. Right? Like, the wrong friendships do the same thing as romantic dynamics. And that's a second, you know, that's a subject for another day. If you guys want me to do a podcast episode on that, of what it looks like in romantic dynamics. But I'm telling you, like, when you are disliked, everything you do misaligns with this person. I remember me simply telling someone that I didn't drink. They went on a rampage telling people that I was judging them for drinking, all these different things. I'm not even thinking about you. Are you real? Are you okay right now? Like, me just existing was just offensive, right? And it comes with a lot of emotional exhaustion, because your nervous system is constantly trying to solve this unsafe dynamic. That's what it is. It is an unsafe dynamic that you're in. And it's very toxic being in friendships like this. They could last for years if you allow it to, where all of a sudden you're a shell of yourself. Here I am, someone that also has a strong personality. And yet I have been in certain friendship dynamics where I feel like I'm like a shell of myself. Like I don't want to say anything. And basically certain dynamics were only working because of me. Because of the fact that I wasn't speaking up. Because of the fact that I was letting them just do whatever they kind of wanted. Right. All right. But what emotionally healthy dynamics look like are not feeling like you have to perform, feeling like you have to, not feeling like you have to prove yourself, not constantly defending your character, not feeling like you have to decode their behavior. You are feeling seen. You're feeling considered. You're feeling safe. Okay. It's not perfect, but it's safe. All right. And sometimes, right, God will let you feel the discomfort in a relationship, not to confuse you, but to actually wake you up. Like, hello, right? If you're asking, is this person supposed to be in my life or not? The real question is, why am I trying to stay in a place where I don't feel any peace? Because God is never the author of confusion. And let the church say amen. But you will create the confusion when you ignore the clarity of what it is that you're feeling. It should never come with this much up and down and all around, all these different things. That is not love. That is not respect. All right. That is you trying to excuse negativity and problematic behavior from individuals in a way to be accepted and loved by them. Right. So I want you to sit with this. Who in your life makes you feel like you have to edit yourself to be accepted? And why are you still calling that a friendship? Okay. That is the end of this episode. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure that you hype this video up. Make sure if you're listening to this on whatever platform that you give it 5 stars of a rating. We do not gatekeep here. And with that being said, do not forget that I love you and God loves you. I'll speak to you beautiful angels in my next podcast episode. Mwah.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.